Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
This is Sheffield Live.
Good afternoon and welcome to The Squeak. My name's Luke Cross and I'm joined in the studio by a special guest presenter this week, Danny Pietnik. How are you doing?
I'm doing very well, thank you. Thanks for having me on.
Oh, you're welcome. Thanks for coming in.
No problem, it's always a pleasure.
James is away this weekend. He's in Royal Leamington Spa. Don't forget the Royal.
Well, how could I? Is that West Midlands? Am I right in thinking that?
Yeah, it's near Coventry.
Right. Okay.
And you did say off mic, what a strange place to go, but his other half's family lives down there, that's why.
Yeah, when you said he was on holiday there, I thought, surely that's not a preference.
Well, it's not really a holiday. I may have over-exaggerated.
He's just having a bit of time over there, with his folks and his girlfriend.
Absolutely.
Lovely stuff.
So you've been in, I mean, we go back a while. We did a show a few years ago, didn't we? But you were in just before Christmas for The Squeak.
You played a few tracks. Obviously, you had me on as a guest, and I played a live session. Yeah, it was
I enjoyed it. Pretty cool. You've written a load of new stuff, haven't you?
I have. Yeah, I have written quite a lot. I played a gig last night, and I debuted a few new ones.
Heavy night.
Sort of fair to middling.
Okay. Well, you look fine anyway.
Yeah, I'm absolutely fine.
Recovered.
Bright-eyed and bushy-tailed as always.
Absolutely.
Consummate professional.
What you have for breakfast?
Well, I sort of skipped breakfast a little bit, given that I sort of got up quite late.
What time did you get up?
Town. So essentially I've had a burrito for breakfast.
Oh, a burrito?
Might be unconventional here in Mexico. It's not Mexico. Yeah, Mexico. It's all the rage.
Mexican food, isn't it?
Yes.
Well, I'm glad you've come to stand in anyway, Dan. Thank you very much. So you know the format of the show. We'll just get straight on with it. Have you seen the news this morning?
I haven't. It's really sad. I woke and you wake up sometimes. First thing, I know it's bad, but the first thing we do is reach for his phones a lot of the time. And I saw the news about Terry Wogan.
Well, it's
just really, really tragic and sad. Another loss. January has taken so many from us.
It has, absolutely. And I agree with what you're saying about picking the phone up. I've actually got the BBC News app on my phone. So whenever there's a breaking story, it beeps. And it's quite
right,
loud. So I picked it up and I couldn't believe it. Yeah, Sir Terry Wogan's died of cancer, age 77. Big, big loss. What do you remember him from, Dan?
Well, obviously, he's always been a successful sort of presenter, journalist. His involvement with Children in Need is something that always stands out in my mind. He was considered a sort of flagship presenter, I guess. Real quality. Quality host.
When he was obviously he did the breakfast show on Radio 2. My dad absolutely loved listening to him in the morning.
Yeah.
He had, he had 8 million listeners, so he had a.
Wow.
A really big following.
And you get that sense that he had a real rapport with the audience and the listeners. You got that. When you listen to one of his shows, you get that sense as a real, relationship between him and his listeners on those shows. So, ever so sad.
Well, the thing I remember him for, I never used to watch it really, but the Eurovision Song Contest. He was the voice of that.
He
for
did.
A long,
he did
long
like
time.
He did the, because obviously it's Graham Norton now, isn't it? But he did like the dubs, not the dubs. Sorry, but he did like the commentary over the other thing. And I remember him getting quite frustrated actually, because obviously we know that the Eurovision Song Contest is quite a lot of political aspects. That
it's a bit of a joke.
It's a bit
isn't
of
it?
A joke. Yeah,
and Terry Wogan made a joke out of it.
He did. Yeah, he obviously picked upon that a lot. So as I say, A real ace at what he did, real loss for the sort of world of media and
entertainment,
showbiz in general. Yeah,
absolutely. Well, I remember it. Do you remember he did Blankety Blank?
No, I don't. I can't. I don't think I ever watched that. In my ignorance, I don't think I ever saw that.
Well, a lot of people remember it. It was Les Dawson that did Blankety Blank, wasn't it? And he was hilarious as well. But Terry Wogan did it as well. I think the thing that sort of launched his chat show career was when he interviewed Larry Hagman. That was a while back, but then he had, obviously, he had his chat show, Wogan. And that was on as many as three nights a week.
Wow.
Three nights a week, Wogan was
on. Sure, that just wouldn't happen now, would it?
No, it wouldn't. And the one I remember, I mean, obviously I wasn't around when it was on, but they showed a clip of it when he interviewed George Best.
Right, okay. And was George Best already in the sort of depths of...
Oh, yeah. He was very, very drunk. And I think the interview only lasted a couple of minutes, and then that was it. It was off. But yeah, unfortunately, he's died at the age of 77. So a real shame.
One vivid memory that stands out for me with Terry Wogan on one of his shows. It might have been what was that the name of that show? Wogan that you were just talking about.
His chat show.
Yeah,
Wogan.
It was just called Wogan, right? Well, anyway, I remember for some reason the one that sticks out in my mind is when he had Timothy Dalton on. And they were plugging like the then new Bond film, which was either The Living Daylights
or License to Kill.
And I vividly remember them bringing on Q with all the gadgets.
Really?
And unscrewing like guns and like fiddling around. And I just thought it was great. I remember that really stuck in my mind.
Yeah, I only watched that the other night, License to Kill. I mean, I've seen it before, but I've not seen it for ages. It's a good film, that.
Well, I think the Timothy Dalton Bond films are particularly underrated. There's some good films.
I think he two of the best films easily.
Yeah, they're not bad. You know what I mean? Like, you know, it's a shame we couldn't get to see a bit more of Dalton in his prime.
There was some disagreement with the studios or something, weren't there? I think they had 6 years off.
Did you know that he played a Time Lord in the...
Yeah, he was in Doctor Who, wasn't he? Yeah, yeah. I'm sure James Hargreaves would know that as well, being a big Who
right,
fan.
Right, yeah.
Carl Maloney's just tweeted us in, afternoon Carl. He says, I remember thinking, what a weird microphone, obviously in reference to Blankety Blank. It looked edible somehow. And actually, it does. It looks like a raisin on the end of a stick.
Yeah, yeah. I was thinking, like, if you'd got a Malteser.
I was going to say Malteser.
Stick into it, yeah.
Thanks for that, Carl.
Yeah. What a worthwhile contribution.
Absolutely. And of course, you're playing one of Carl's gigs. Oh, and you're playing two of Carl's gigs.
I'm playing two of Carl's gigs. The first one on the 13th of February, which is a Saturday, I believe.
Yes.
And that is at the Washington. And I'll just say, I was at the Washington last night. I hope it's as busy.
Do you know what? I was in on Friday and it was absolutely rammed.
Yeah, it's,
I love
it's
the Washington.
It's got quite a buzz.
Place.
It's a great night out, actually. I've never seen it as a music venue either, so that'll be an interesting thing to experience, and it'll be great to play there.
Yeah, well, one thing, and Carl will tell you the same, you've got to make sure you drag people into that room, because there's two arches, isn't there, into that
second
room. Oh, yeah,
it's the one called the Shallow End, and is that how it works? There's one room side called the Shallow End or something,
Well, as you go in, you turn right, that's where, obviously, the bar's there. And then under two arches is the performing room where the DJ sets up and all that. You've got to call people into there because otherwise I'll not be able to see you.
I'll remember that, and if I need to, I'll use sophisticated nets to pull people in.
What, like Spider-Man?
No, I'd say more like Deadliest Catch with a twist. Anyway, and then I'm also playing another one of his gigs on the 3rd of March.
The Frog and Parrot,
the 3rd of March.
Well, I'm glad you know, because we asked Carl when we had him on and he couldn't remember.
I'm pretty sure it's the 3rd of March. I'll double check, but I'm pretty sure it is. And I'm looking forward to that, because I've never played Frog and Parrot.
Well, you've never played Washington, have you?
No, I've never played both their news.
So you're looking forward to them both in equal measure.
Exactly, for the same reasons, but with the same level of enthusiasm.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right.
Well, that's that plug out of the way, anyway.
That is that plug out of the way, yeah. But I did remember you saying that there might be a song of mine coming on later. Is that right? We might be on this schedule at some point.
Well,
know?
I don't see why not. I've not played you for a while, and I've brought the CD in.
You've got a couple on there, haven't you?
Yeah, I've got. Well, to be honest, as you mentioned last time, I've got some that you made up in GarageBand.
Yeah,
so I'm probably going to leave
not
those
really airworthy
on the back burner. Yeah,
I do apologise to the listeners for my shameless plugs, but you know, you've got to have an incentive sometimes. That's all I'm saying.
Well, you'd be daft not to mention it when you're on the radio
exactly,
and you've got a couple
of
gigs coming up,
exactly,
on you. So
yeah.
Can't fault you at all for that.
Sound out long.
You what?
Sorry, I meant to say. Also, check out soundcloud.com/Danny Piatnik, @Danny Piatnik for Twitter, facebook.com/Danny Piatnik. Is that on youtube.com/DannyPietnik?
Just search Danny Pietnik on the worldwide internet and see what happens.
All that, yeah.
Right, time for the first track of the day. This one is I Set the Sea on Fire, and I had a bit of a panic, actually, because I panicked because I didn't think the CD had burned. Or burnt,
yeah,
but it has.
I can see that panic in your eyes. You look like a sort of stranded seal who'd been, you know, embellished on some rocks. But you got back to water in the end.
And this is Taste Like Funk. You're listening to Sheffield Live 93.2 FM. I Set the Sea on Fire, and that was Taste Like Funk. Yeah, what do you reckon to that, Dan? It was
liked
decent, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. It had a sort of funkiness to it, but a sort of like, kind of cool, edgy, like rock sound. It was very enjoyable.
Yeah, I think we've played that before. So that's the latest single from a five-piece band based in Sheffield. Already described as one of the tracks of the year by the BBC Introducing in Sheffield.
Wow. Well, I can see why. I think it's a great track.
And it was track of the month in Expose magazine. The single's out now. It's on DMF Digital. The album is out in March, so keep your eyes out for them.
I will certainly keep my eyes out for that.
Absolutely. Okay, so, Dan, you might have seen it. I'm sure you have. Everybody's been talking about the lottery. Now, there was an unclaimed ticket for £33 million. the ticket's now been claimed. Now, there was a lot... One woman was saying that she'd accidentally put it through the wash. And unfortunately, you know, couldn't see the barcode anymore, so couldn't claim it. Now, it was bought in Worcester, and lots of people... You've heard the story. Lots of people were claiming that they'd won this £33 million, but obviously, they'd lost it or had it damaged.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's now been claimed.
Been officially claimed now.
Yeah, and the winner is remaining anonymous. Would you remain anonymous if you'd won £33 million?
Yeah, I can sort of see why people would want to remain anonymous, because you got to think, can't you? You know, you've got that much money. You get people crawling out of the woodwork.
Yeah.
It'd get a bit annoying. I mean... Don't get me wrong. I think it's all very well and good being charitable. I think that, you know, I think you just would anyway. But I don't think you need to really like broadcast that you've won that much money. So I can sort of completely see where they're coming from. And what I've got to say, what a time they must be having! You know, fantastic.
Oh God, absolutely,
life, completely change your life.
I mean, I agree with you. I don't think I'd remain anonymous because you know. You do get people saying, oh, you know, giving you sub-stories and that, I would imagine.
Mate, I ain't seen you in 18 years, but can you sort us out with a couple of K? Do you know what I mean? Like, so, that sort of thing could happen. But just talking of that, I mean, yeah, it's fantastic. Imagine what you could do with the possibilities.
What would you do if you won £33 million, Daniel Pietnik?
I think, Luke, what I'd do is I'd probably construct a subterranean base that I could obviously live in. And within the base, there would be sort of... military-grade weapons ready for deployment. Yourself?
Mm. well, I've not put as much thought into it as you
right,
clearly
okay,
have.
Right.
Beginning to wish I hadn't asked. It's probably a new house.
Nice,
I don't know, go on holiday. I'd probably invest in property. I really enjoy homes under the hammer.
Yeah, I mean, that's one thing you can do. I mean, I'd like to perhaps buy maybe 30 zebras... and attach them with really, really sophisticated GPS.
What for?
Just so I could track them. But, you know, you've got that sort of money, you can do anything you want, you know. You don't have to, I'm not saying buy 30 zebras, do what you like. It's your money.
Well,
you know what I mean? I'm sure they will.
Yeah, I'm sure they will. They have remained anonymous, though, so if you are after a couple of K, then...
forget
unfortunately,
it.
Yeah, you can forget it. So, yeah, the other... Well, it was a £66 million jackpot. This is half of it. There were two winners. David and Carol Martin from South Scotland were the other winners. They didn't remain anonymous. I wonder if you don't remain anonymous, you know, if you're likely to get more money, you know, out of magazine deals and things like that, and newspapers.
Yeah, I mean...
Because why wouldn't you? Why wouldn't you remain anonymous?
Well, exactly. I mean, if that's the case, that really is greed. If they're doing it purely for the...
I'm going to say, yeah. Got enough money already.
To get more money from that promotion, like you say, sponsors and things and deals from radio and TV going on this morning and talking about what you've won.
I'd like to go on this morning, though.
Would you?
You have to
catch their attention in some way.
Yeah.
Money does that, but... Yeah, I suppose it'd be... You know, it'd have its perks, wouldn't it?
Hmm.
Scoff, you know. What a legend. Actually, talking to this morning, did you see or see on Facebook the two presenters, Holly and Phil, they turned up for work the day after the TV awards.
Yeah, they'd
in the same clothes.
They turned up in the same clothes. Now, do you reckon that was real, or do you reckon it was a bit of...
Part of me thinks they could have been sort of told to do it as a bit of a publicity stunt sort of thing, but you never know, do you? It genuinely could have just been, you know, they've not had time to do it, and then they've just turned up.
Well, I never watched this morning, so I'm always at work when it's on, and I, you know, just not in. But have you seen the videos on social media? They did seem...
Yeah, I did
like
see them playing the pie face game and stuff around it.
Ant and Dex.
Ant and Dex house, yeah.
Yeah, well, they did turn up and they definitely didn't seem sober on the settee.
Yeah, they did. Yeah, they were giggling and stuff. They looked a bit dishevelled.
How unprofessional do you think it is to be broadcasting while still under the influence, Danny Pietnik?
I think you got to take it with a pinch of salt. If you can still, you know, keep your level as a consummate professional and do your job, you know, if it doesn't inhibit you doing your job, and fine, but you know, obviously, if you're doing it every day, it'd become a problem.
Yeah, absolutely. So having a few the night before and coming in the day after is acceptable, you think?
To some degree. You know, You know, I wouldn't say completely paint the town red. You know, have an hour's sleep and then do it.
Yeah, yeah.
But, you know, if you've got a wholesome character and you've drank a full pint of water followed by a couple of paracetamols, had at least 8 hours sleep and a burrito, Bob's your uncle.
You're talking from personal experience now, Dan?
Yeah, just logic.
Fair enough. Okay. Shall we have another song?
Let's have another song, yeah.
Okay, excellent. So, going back to our new music, this one is from Ian Britton, it's Run. This is his latest single. His EP is out on DMF Digital now, and here is Run. You listen to The Squeak on 93.2 FM. Get in touch on the Twitter, at The Squeak.
I'll bring you back down to earth, wrap you up in my arms. I'll chase the crazy away, wrap you back up in calm. When you're tripping up and over loose cable and wire, when you're trying to reach the finish line with a nail in your tire, I will run to you. I will run to you. I'll help you see through the maze. I'll be your periscope. I'll do whatever I can to be a glimmer of hope. When your black and white is mixing up and turning to grey, when the gear that makes your heart sing is rusting away, I will run to you. I will run to you. I will run to you. Oh, I will run. You wanna live in honor. You
Ian Britt there with Run, and as I say, his EP Guardians is out now on DMF Digital, and he's on Spotify if you want to check him out. What did you think to that, Danny Pietnik?
I thought it was nice, yeah. Nice, slow ballad.
A bit slower, wasn't it?
Yeah, but, yeah. Reminded me of sort of a male Celine Dion, with perhaps, you know, stylistically, I mean, you know, don't want to do him any discredit.
Yeah. No, I enjoyed that. I enjoyed that very much. And, you know, it just shows you what a big pool of talent we've got to pick from.
There is a big pool. You could almost say it's a lake of talent.
Ocean? If you wanted a bit to far? Ocean.
Yeah, why not?
Sea?
Deep sea diver?
Anyway, yeah, if you want to get your music played on this show, you can do. If you go to the Facebook page, facebook.com/thesqueak, you can find the information on there. Danny Pietnik's currently eating a pencil.
Sorry, I was just trying to get it together a bit. I had a minor meltdown.
Oh, it's okay. I should just say, actually, as we were preparing for the show, obviously Paul Sellers was in doing Eclectica, and you were having a bit of a dance, Dan, weren't you?
I was. I did have a bit of a dance because I was getting down to like those sort of house vibes that were going on. But unfortunately for me, I didn't realise the building was occupied.
I was caught,
someone came through the door and I had to do that awkward, you know, where you're dancing and then you awkwardly sort of like try and blend back into just normality, like you were doing nothing.
Yeah.
But it was evident that I'd been dancing.
Yeah. At that point, I'd tuned out because you'd been dancing continuously for about five minutes. There are people working in the office on the other side.
I get that now. I guess in future, I'll have to keep my dancing to a minimum.
Yeah. It was lovely dancing, though.
Thanks.
Did you have any joy in the Washington with that dancing last night?
It's safe to say that dancing got me nowhere.
At least you're honest.
I'm always honest.
Yeah. Okay. So, not a musical one, but have you seen the news about Stuart Pearce?
Please enlighten me.
Well, he signed for Longford AFC.
Right.
They dubbed the worst team in the
country.
As
a player?
Yeah, yeah. He's set to come out of retirement at age 53 in a bid to transform the fortunes of a struggling non-league side. Obviously played for Nottingham Forest, and he was in the World Cup semis in 1990. But he signed for Longford, who have been dubbed the worst team in the UK. Based in Gloucestershire, they've lost all 18 games this season, scoring one goal and letting in 179.
I don't know if I agree with it, Luke.
They are the San Marino of English Football League sides.
I don't think I like the idea of this.
Oh, they're not a Football League side, they're a non-league side, sorry, correction. Why don't you agree with it?
Right, okay, right. Stuart Pearce, fair enough, you know, former professional, great player in his day. We all remember that heroic penalty that he took against Spain, you know, considering that he'd missed one in the previous tournament.
Yeah.
But... you know, he is a legend, but I don't know, 53, and I just think, is it a little bit self-indulgent at this point in his life? Couldn't he offer more from a dressing room sort of perspective, if you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Wouldn't it be a better thing to give, you know, some younger talent, like that sort of grassroots level, the opportunity rather than himself? I don't know. It seems a bit strange to me, though. What do you think?
Okay, well, flip side of the coin then. He's saying that the grassroots of the game is essential to the sport's lifeblood.
Yeah, I get that.
You know, he's saying he started playing out in non-league football for Welsden before he joined Coventry. So he's looking forward to working with the manager and helping a group of, you know, young footballers try and gain a bit of confidence.
Yeah, but
it's just his way of giving something back.
Yeah, I don't know why he needs to actually play.
Could be from a coaching perspective as opposed to playing. But shall I take you through the last four games?
Yes, take me through them.
So they lost 17-0 at home to Bibury.
Is this since he's been playing with them? Or?
No.
All right, okay. Has he played a game with them yet?
Well, he will have done now, yeah. I haven't got the result of that, but I'll see if I can find it. Then they lost 16-0 away to Lydney Town Reserves. Then they lost 15-0 at home to Quedgeley Wanderers, and then they lost 14-0 away to Wollaston. So it is a bit of a challenge. That's probably why he's gone back as a player rather than a coach.
There's clearly some work to do there on the training ground, let's say. But, yeah. I mean, like I say, Stuart Pearce will offer a lot in a sort of professional role, if you know what I mean, because obviously he's had so much experience.
Yeah.
In some ways, it could work for them. It might get them playing in a different way. Just
staying on football, it's FA Cup weekend.
It is, but don't remind me.
Well, yeah, Sheffield Wednesday had a bit of a shocker. I couldn't believe it. I looked at the result. I looked at the game while it was on. We were 2-1 up, and then I checked, and we'd lost 3-2.
Big backlash from the community of Owls supporters I've seen on today. A lot of Owls fans not happy. They feel that. It wasn't taken seriously enough. We were lethargic. We were complacent. We didn't respect the opposition. So I think it's a real shame to be out of the cup competition at this stage against.
Yeah,
you know,
I agree.
Lower
I mean,
league opposition.
Considering Wednesday is sixth in the table, I would be more inclined to concentrate on the league. But if we'd have beaten Shrewsbury and drawn a team like Man U, that would have been worth quite a bit of money, wouldn't it? So yeah, just purely on the financial side of things.
It's an old argument that, you know, we're out of the domestic cups, we can concentrate on the league. Where, but I personally, I am always in the... I always have the feeling of that if you can make winning a habit, regardless of what competition you're in, it's always better for the team. So even if you're playing more fixtures, you know.
Well, that's the worry.
And like you said, the history of a cup like FA Cup and Sheffield Wednesday's history, you just think that, you know, it'd be a bit more special. You know, they should have really gone for it. But,
Well, that's the thing. I think the point you made about getting into the habit of winning, it might affect the players' mindset now because they've had the game. They've been robbed. Well, they haven't been robbed of the game. They've lost the game in the dying minutes.
Exactly. When
they
should have seen 90 it. 90 plus 7, I believe.
Correct. Yeah, 90 plus 7.
So yeah, I mean, it's a shame to be out. Like you said, we've got to look. You know, there's no point crying over spilt milk now. Wednesday have to look onwards and upwards. But and you know, there's still a lot of promise for our season. You know, we're in the playoff spot. Let's see what we can do. But I think really that should be a wake up call.
Yeah, I agree.
Complacency. You know, you can't allow complacency like that to creep in. I mean, and to say that it was, you know, a lower league opposition that we've lost to, that's the first. Is that the first loss in like 8 or 9 or something?
Yeah, it's not. Well, I don't know. I don't know if it's that many. I haven't got the stats in front of me, but it's, you know, we've not lost for a while.
It's been a year.
We've been fairly consistent.
Quite a while, yeah.
Okay.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Well, we'll move it away from sports now because you don't want to alienate anybody. We'll come on to the next track, and this is one we got sent in from Spain. So not quite local music, but I did have a listen earlier and I quite enjoyed it. It's called Fire In Me, and it's by a group called Sound Phase. You listen to The Squeak on 93.2 FM.
Fire rises in me like never before.
Sheffield Live.
Do you like Sheffield Live? Why not become a friend of Sheffield Live? Sheffield Live is a community radio station, and friends of Sheffield Live are people in the community who make a regular donation to keep Sheffield Live on the air. Join the Friends of Sheffield Live by writing to friends@sheffieldlive.org or go online to sheffieldlive.org/
Friends. Yeah, did you like that advert, Dan?
It certainly made my camaraderie towards people stronger. And, you know, I love the fact, can I just say as well, I love the fact that, you know, this is a community-run show, and like the advertisement said, you know, anyone who can help.
Yeah. Oh, it's a shame she stayed anonymous, that woman that won the money.
Oh, yeah, she would have sorted us out big time.
Yeah.
And then I'd been able to fund my subterranean base with military vehicles.
I meant Sheffield Live, not you.
Oh, right, yeah.
So, yeah, that track, I'd say that was Barcelona-based indie quartet. Soundface, I quite enjoyed that, actually.
I did, yeah, yeah. It's actually like having tapas, because, you know, I felt like I was getting several different musical vibes. Similar to when you eat tapas and you have a little dish of everything. Like, it was like the musical representation of that. So yeah.
See, this is where I need James. Because if we're both laughing, no one's talking.
Well,
anyway.
I was just waiting for you to sort of confirm.
Yeah. No, look, I like tapas very much. Yeah. But they are on they're on Facebook, they're on Twitter, so you know, if you're on Twitter following this week, I've put their username in there, so you can just check them out.
Sorry, can I just reference to anyone who didn't realize the reason I mentioned tapas is because obviously they're a Spanish band, is that right?
Well, they're based in Barcelona.
Based in Barcelona, yeah.
Yeah, I like tapas. I had tapas for ages, actually.
Me neither, but I've never felt a strong desire for it. But
I
will.
I like it. I don't know.
I actually got, you know, actually talking of tapas. I played the Eaton Cafe a few months back now, and they paid me. Their payment basically was in tapas.
Eaton Cafe?
Yeah, near the cathedral.
Oh, right. It's just a funny name, isn't it?
It is a bit weird, yeah.
Have you eaten
It was
today?
Probably the strangest gig I've ever played, if I'm honest. But, you know, it's the way it goes sometimes.
We've had a text flood in from Dave Tingle. It says, tapas comes free with drinks. I don't know where he means, but it sounds great. And if it does, let's go. Or maybe he means in Spain as a whole.
That would make sense. Perhaps.
Yeah. Maybe we should go for tapas after the show, Dan. What do you think?
Maybe. Who knows?
Well, don't sit on the fence. That's all I'll say. We'll talk about it after the show.
We'll talk about it after.
What was I going to talk to you about? Oh, yeah. Have you heard? Not a massive fan myself, but One Direction... obviously, Zayn left One Direction before they took the break, and he's brought his new single out. Have you heard it?
I haven't heard it, no.
It's a bit...
Is it a bit different?
I think it's a decent track, to be honest.
Well, good on him for persevering with his own stuff, you know. It's, we knew he wasn't particularly happy in One Direction, so it's good that he's...
The thing with One Direction was they're all solo artists, and... They got told either you go home as a solo or you stay in as a band and see what happens. Yeah. So they did, obviously. But he's brought out a song called Pillow Talk. And I think the album is all about the coming together, if you will, of a man and a woman.
Okay.
So the lyrics are a bit explicit, is the word I'm looking for. So
There's me thinking it was about bedding.
Pillow Talk.
But, you know, it just shows you, doesn't it? Different interpretations.
Yeah. Well, just your interpretations.
Just my interpretation.
I want to ask you about pillows, actually.
Go ahead.
Duck feathers. Where are you with that? Duck feather pillows.
How are they extracted?
however you want them to be extracted.
Made, I mean, from the duck, or how are they extracted?
Well, I'm guessing they're plucked and then stuffed inside the pillow. I find them very comfortable, but they can also be very painful, because if the end of the feather comes out, it can stick in your neck or your face.
Yeah, I've never had that problem myself, but I am quite a heavy sleeper, so I don't think that the perspiration of my flesh, by a, I don't think that's the right word, the piercing of my flesh by a feather, duck feather, would prevent my sleep.
Oh, well, that's a result then. So
that is a result.
But the only thing is they're a bit more expensive, but I find them a lot more comfortable.
Excellent. Fantastic radio.
Right, anyway. So I wanted to come on to you, Dan, because I've not mentioned you in at least, you know, 10 minutes. When I say you, I mean your musical background. So you've been recording, or you've been writing quite a bit, haven't you, lately?
I have, in the last year. I've been writing a lot of new stuff. It's just hard because, you know, it's not cheap to record, so...
No.
On quite a lot of stuff until I can.
Well, you've got four that you've got on your SoundCloud, which
That's right.
I think you may have slipped in at the top of the show, but soundcloud.com/DannyPiatnik,
yeah.
So what are you... Obviously, you're doing gigs with Carl. What are you... What's your plan?
My plan is to basically go to the venues as dated and then perform between 25 to 30 minutes of original material.
I didn't mean for the gigs, I mean sort of long term. Looking past the gigs.
Okay.
I didn't mean how you get into the Frog
and
Parrot.
I'd like to keep performing. I'd like to keep writing songs and just see where it goes. I mean, I just love doing it, so.
How did you get into it all?
Well, I've always had a sort of musical background, really, Luke.
You did it at uni, didn't you?
I did it at uni and college, yeah. That's what I studied. And also I was in a pop-punk group called Voice of Brain for several years. We played a lot of gigs around Sheffield.
I think you told me about this.
Yeah, so... But even from a quite young age, I had just sort of strong focus on music.
What's your what's the best gig you've ever done, then? I don't remember if I ever asked you this.
The best gig I've ever done? I don't know. It's really hard for me to say that, because, you know, a lot of gigs sort of blend into each other these now, because I'm doing them quite often. These secret shows I've been doing are great.
Well, that was one last night, wasn't
it? Yeah, that's right. If we've not explained this before, there's an organisation out there called ASS, a secret show, and they put on these really intimate gigs. Check them out on Facebook. If you just type in a secret show, you'll find them. But yeah, they're great, and they put on these really intimate gigs, and you get a real sense that the people who come to these gigs really enjoy the environment and everything that goes on, and it's wonderful. Yeah, there should be more things like it. There's a real sense of community at these places.
Yeah, well, I find that whenever you go to a gig in Sheffield, everybody supports each other, and that's one thing that I really like. And I think I've told you about the gig, or you've probably heard about it, on April 2nd at the Leadmill. A lot of the bands that we've championed, so Four Authors, October Drift, Slow Readers Club and Dead Set Dream are going to be playing the Leadmill. Tickets are £7. But
I think that's worth it, though. I mean, you've got four decent bands there.
Oh, it's more than worth
it. And I've heard a lot of those bands that you've talked about, and they've all been at a really high standard, so...
Well, Slow Readers Club, their album Cavalcade's out now. That's had a really good reception. October Drift, they've got a couple of songs on Spotify that you can listen to as well. They're really good. Four Authors, they're a local band from Barnsley. I like their stuff. They've got quite a bit on Spotify as well. And Dead Set Dream are another good group. So definitely worth going if you can still get tickets, because it's liable to sell out.
Right, excellent.
But, you know... You can guarantee that not just the bands that'll be playing, there'll be other musical artists or bands that'll be there on the night. So definitely one to go for.
Definitely one to check out, folks.
So I'm going to play one of your tracks, Dan.
Excellent.
Tell us about it, how it came to pass. Isabel.
Well, I like to be honest about my songs. It is about the death of a cat. A cat that wasn't particularly friendly. A young female called Isabel. But she became almost an art installation in my life. You know, she was a completely black cat. And I'd just, in summer evenings, you know, I'd just stare out the window, you know, I might have a cup of coffee. And I'd see this like beautiful black cat just chasing like butterflies or whatever, and just she never really wanted to be stroked, but she was, I don't know, she just sort of became like a piece of my life. And when she got, you know, she got killed really young. I think she was only about a year old when she got like run over, and we found out from the neighbours because I've not seen her for a few days. And I just remember feeling like crushed, like, you know, it's not even my cat, but I just felt really crushed about it. Like I say, I felt like it was somehow part of the whole mix-up. The song just came. Do you know what I mean? It just came out of nothing. But
should we play it now?
Let's play it. Let's play the song.
Do you know, you're not being completely serious, are you? We don't want to bring everybody down too much.
No, I was.
Oh, right, okay. Sorry.
I was. I know it's a strange subject, but I was. No, I wrote it with a lot of emotion.
Well, here it is.
Isabel, come back to me. I needed something to remind me of you. 'Cause when you crept into my garden, it blew. Isabel, come back to me. There's still things you have to see. The sky grows darker when it's cold in your eyes, like fading photographs of it in the light. Now watch these days turn cold, and she's already gone. Now watch these nights turn on, and she's already gone. She's already gone.
Yes, it is indeed. You listen to The Squeak on 93.2 FM. That was Danny Pietnik with Isabel. Yeah. Can I just say, sorry if I upset you before. I didn't know if you were being serious.
Oh, no, it's fine. No, like I said, I like to be honest with how I write. And I was, you know, I was genuinely affected by it. Otherwise, you know, that's the reason I write. Can I just give a big shout-out, actually, to the guy who helped me produce that, who called Beanus. I don't know how to pronounce his surname because he was from Lithuania. But if he's listening, he'll know I mean him. And also V, again, another singer I can't pronounce.
Lovely piano that she played on.
Yeah, she came in and she did a great job. I just said to her, like, you know, just put something down, and she did a fantastic job. So
interesting, you were saying that the drummer you'd actually not met.
I'd never met the drummer. I don't even know his name.
The joys of recording.
This is it. This guy just said, because it was basically a university project, those four songs. So they were all students, apart from V, who used to be a student. She came back to do it because I knew her from... I used to speak to her on Facebook, sort of thing.
Right. I see.
So, yeah, it was great. Do you know what I mean? They did a fantastic job, and I'm just so happy. You know, people seem to really appreciate that track live as well. It's great. It's become a bit of a crowd favourite.
I mean, obviously, I've followed you since when we used to work together, yonks ago. Do you find it strange when people like join in with your songs and sing along?
Not at all. And it didn't happen enough for me because obviously I'm so, like, on the scale of things, so unknown. I just find it, you know, I don't think there's any greater joy than being, you know, right, creating something that someone else appreciates and wants to sing along. You know, it's an honour, you know what I mean, for people to want to sing along.
Oh, God.
That's what everyone sort of, everyone wants as an artist, for your music to really have an impact like that.
Well, yeah, I suppose you're right, yeah. Well, keeping it on a musical theme, a man was arrested at a Libertines gig. Because they'd found a load of phones that he'd stuffed down his trousers. Now, I want you to guess how many phones he had.
Before you tell me this, before I guess, can I just ask, was he wearing cords? Yeah, not my best work. See what I did there? Made the connection between the fact the type of trousers, cords, and obviously phones that used to have cords. Anyway, so what was the question?
How many phones do you think he had stuffed down his trousers?
I'm going to say 7.
38.
What?
38 phones. He'd been spotted acting suspiciously at the show at the Barclaycard Arena in Birmingham a few days ago on the 27th. Another man was arrested too when he tried to get into the gig. Police had been tipped off after thieves were suspected of targeting fans at another concert by the band in Manchester. There's a picture here which is no good for the radio, but they just laid out all the phones. So he'd just been going around stealing phones. Now, it happens quite a bit at festivals, doesn't it? This sort of thing. Things getting stolen.
Well, Luke, let me tell you, I mean, I can completely relate to this story. As you probably well know, when I played the first ever gig I played at the Green Room, which was an open mic, I got my phone stolen.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
This guy came up to me and he had like menus and he was saying, it was about October time, he was saying, here, look at the menus for Christmas. And as he was doing that, he covered my phone and took the phone. I was so, because I'm playing a gig that night, so I'm so like, you know, I'm nervous thinking I need to get ready. I didn't notice till about 20 minutes after.
So this was a guy that worked at the Green Room?
No, this was a guy who just came in off his own accord and put on an act that he was working at the Green Room.
Oh, right. Ingenious.
The police got involved and everything. I had to, you know, log it like through the police and everything, but and never got the phone back.
Did you get any
nothing? Nothing. So you got a brand new, basically all that, you know, we don't get many nice things in life, you know, when we haven't got that much money, and, you know, for someone to just steal your phone, it's disgusting.
We're awful,
but that's it. It happens. But 38 down your trousers, it just shows you what a big problem it is. Did you say 38?
38, yeah. Well, obviously he's been arrested, so...
Oh, they got him then.
Oh, they arrested him, yeah.
But it just shows you, doesn't it, what an easy target is. You know, if you've got your phone out on a table or anything, you're susceptible to people trying to nick your phone, so just be careful.
He'd actually taped his trousers shut at the bottom, so he'd obviously gone with intent. Anyway, time for another track, the last one before the end of the show. This is Adoration by Circus Wolves. Listen to The Squeak on 93.2 FM.
Die just the same. When I'm dead, I'm dead and I'm done.
Eagle-eyed listeners will know that that was not Circus Wolves. It was, in fact, I Set the Sea on Fire again with Taste Like Funk.
They're going to be loving you, Luke. You know, yes, you're giving them like additional airplay. They've got the same track played twice. Yeah, it happens to the best of us, never mind.
I've broken the cardinal sin on radio, which is never play... Well, it's normally never play an artist twice at the same hour, and but I play the same song.
In this case, though, it was a genuine mistake. It was. Just overly... You know, I know you liked the song, but you didn't like it so much that you wanted to play it multiple times.
You know, I did really like it, and I was quite happy to hear it again. Apologies to Circus Wolves. We'll get your track on next week.
Can I pop it on a third time? See how it goes? Or...
That was I Set the Sea on Fire. Thanks, Carl Maloney is an eagle-eared listener, so thank you very much for bringing that to my attention. So just time to say, Daniel Pietnik, thank you ever so much for coming in today. Enjoyed yourself?
It's been an absolute pleasure. I always enjoy myself on this show, so thanks for having me.
Oh, well, thanks for coming in. DJ Ski is up next at 3 o'clock. He's not here yet, so I'm hoping he's on the way.
He's on the Alpine Trail down to the studio.
Down to the lodge that is
exactly,
the studio.
Yeah. slaloming his way down. Can't say that word. Slaloming. Slalom. That's it.
Should have practiced it before the show.
Nice. Tricky word.
What are you up to then, Dan, for the rest of the day? Are you coming for a drink with me, actually?
I might come for a lemonade with you, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Well, let's drink to that. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next week. Bye-bye.